Hello everyone, I'm Lei Yang from UC Santa Barbara. Today I'm going to present our paper supporting demanding wireless applications with frequency agile radios. This is a joint work with my colleagues from UCSB and Tsinghua University. In recent years, we have seen tremendous growth in multimedia applications in home and office networks. For example, you watch high quality movie, listen to high quality music with different multimedia standards. And these applications, they usually have very high bandwidth requirements and they need to have very good quality of service. Today, in order to connect these devices together, we need to have a lot of wires. But no one wants to have so many messy wires. What we want is wireless. Let's use wireless to replace these messy wires. But in order to make such wireless media network usable, we need to satisfy several unique properties. First of all, because these are the multimedia applications, they need to have continuous access in time, and they need to have very high bandwidth transmissions, because their performance is very sensitive to delay and disruptions. And more importantly, we need to support multiple concurrent transmissions, because the media sessions, they are going to happen in parallel. For example, you may watch TV in your living room while your friend is listening to music in another room. And finally, the system needs to adapt to the time-varying traffic demand. So now we wanted to design such wireless network. The natural response would be Wi-Fi because it's widely available. But it turns out it's not good enough. First of all, the home spectrum band, the RSM band, is already too crowded. We have so many Wi-Fi devices competing for the limited bandwidth, and we also have many other devices also on the same band. And more importantly, Wi-Fi uses CSMA. The per packet time domain contention can lead to a lot of overhead and disruption. This is not media friendly. For example, as we are showing here, if you have only one transmission using Wi-Fi, this is probably okay because this can access the channel continuously in time. But as more and more links join the network, they all need to compete in time and they need to share in time. This may lead to disruptions and also the contention overhead make it very difficult to provide quality of service guarantee. So we want to solve the problem with Wi-Fi. Remember that the multimedia applications, they all want to have dedicated and continuous access in time. So our idea is to start from the other domain. Instead of sharing in time, how about we share the resource in frequency domain? And we call our solution as per session frequency domain sharing. So as we are showing in this example, suppose we have three concurrent media transmissions on a new dedicated spectrum band. We can let these three sessions, they use different frequency ranges. Then they can access the spectrum over time. So in this way, there's no interference because these frequency bands, they are orthogonal to each other. And in addition, they can also get continuous access in time. So in this way, the quality of service is much easier to guarantee. And finally, we can also change the spectrum usage to adapt to their time-varying traffic demand. So the idea sounds very nice, but you may ask, is this feasible? To design such a system, we do need to have a new dedicated spectrum band. The good news is that there are good opportunities for us to have such band. FCC has released and auctioned new spectrum bands, and they are going to release more in the future. So this is very good, and we can start from a clean spectrum band. But in addition, we also need to have new spectrum domain access mechanisms. And there are also good news from FCC. In their most recent national broadband plan, they also recommended to design new spectrum domain access mechanisms. So under this context, we have designed a system called Jello That is to realize our design concept, the precession frequency domain sharing. So JLO is a fully decentralized home media system. It's decentralized, so it does not require any central controller or control radios. So it's very flexible. You can use it for different types of devices. These devices for different applications, they don't need to talk to each other. And the devices can just join the network and self-configure the parameters. And if the transmission fails, they can also self-recover. And finally, it's also low cost because there is no need to have an actual control radio or a dedicated controller. In JLO, we utilize the frequency agility enabled by many software-defined radio platforms. For example, GNU Radio, Warp, Sora, and AirBlue. These radios, they are very flexible, and we can change their spectrum usage dynamically over time. So to realize JLO, we have several key components. The first component is spectrum sensing. So if the device wants to access the spectrum, wants to join the network, they need to sense the spectrum to find out where are the usable or where are the free spectrum bands to avoid interference to other transmissions. In our environment, without a central controller, there's no one can tell the devices where are the usable spectrums. It's different from cellular. So these devices, they need to perform their own job to sense the free spectrum. After that, the devices, they also need to select the right spectrum band to access. So to satisfy their traffic demand, as well as improve the spectrum utilization. This is also very challenging in a distributed environment. And finally, we need to have a coordination between the sender and receiver within a link so that they can share their spectrum usage and also their spectrum sensing results so that we can maintain the connection within the link. So when we design and implement JLO, we actually found out several quite interesting research and engineering problems for the sensing part and the spectrum selection part. Today, I'm going to talk about them in detail later. So let me start from the first component, how to identify free spectrum. Here, what we mean by free spectrum, these are just the spectrum bands are not in use by other transmissions, by other links. The conventional way is just energy detection. So if a device wants to access network, it will scan the energy level over different frequency. It will get a power spectrum density map, looks like this. And then the energy detector will use a detection threshold, something like this. And for any frequency locations with power levels lower than the threshold, that's free and usable. Although this approach is very simple, but it's not very reliable. As shown by many previous work, the detection accuracy is very sensitive to the choice of the detection threshold. So, for example, you may end up selecting a very high threshold. That means you miss to detect many active transmissions. And also, you may end up selecting a too low threshold. That means there are some free spectrum, but you cannot detect it. So how can we get better sensing than this? Our idea is to try to get more information from this map, power spectrum density map. So what we see from this figure is that although there are three different transmissions, they have very different power levels, but they all display a very clear edge pattern on the right and left side. There are rising and dropping edges. So in JLO, we identify these edge patterns and utilize them to improve the sensing. So our edge detection-based sensing has two steps. In the first step, we apply pre-processing to smooth the power spectrum density observation by averaging some consecutive observations, so we can get rid of some measurement errors, like what we are showing here. And in the second step, we identify the edges. So we borrow some technique from image processing. We calculate the first order derivative of the power spectrum map, and then we get a figure like this. So from here, we can already see there's a clear mapping between the peaks and the rising and dropping edges, right? The next thing, we will just use this information to identify these edges. For the positive peaks, these are the rising edges, and the negative peaks, these are the dropping edges. Then we can identify the busy or occupied spectrum bands as the blocks with a rising edge on the left and a dropping edge on the right. So in this way, because the edge pattern is so clear, so that we can get much more robust sensing results than just energy detection. So now the devices know where are the usable spectrum. So there might be several available spectrum bands. So the device needs to select the right one to access to satisfy the current traffic demand. So this actually falls in the online resource allocation problem. And there are existing algorithms such as best fit, worst fit, and first fit. In general, we have evaluated all of them and select best fit because it provides the best performance. And in best fit, the devices will select the smallest available free spectrum band that can just support the current traffic demand. For example, in this case, the device will access the leftmost free spectrum band to satisfy the traffic demand. So after this, together with the spectrum sensing, and we also implemented a coordination protocol, we actually built a simple JELO system. But is that enough? After experimenting the basic design, that actually reveals another fundamental challenge, which is called spectrum fragmentation. So this is quite similar to disk or memory systems. As the flows, they access the spectrum dynamically over time. The available spectrum band may get fragmented into small slices, as we are showing here. For example, link 2 leaves the network, or link 3 reduces spectrum usage. They can both create some spectrum holes in the frequency domain. We call them spectrum fragments. And as the more links join the network or change their spectrum demand, this situation may get worse, and there are more fragments. So now, if there's a new link wants to access the network, although there are enough bands in total to support the traffic, but the new link cannot find any contiguous one to access. This can lead to severe performance degradation. To better understand the impact on media performance, we have done some simulation using just 4 concurrent video transmissions. We vary the traffic load in the network and look at the video disruption rate with and without fragmentation. So from here, we see that there's a roughly 20% increase in video disruption, and this is significant in terms of the perceptual video quality. If you are watching a movie with fragmentation, the movie may get fragmented and may even not viewable. So we definitely need to solve the problem of fragmentation. The natural solution here, again, is defragmentation, just like what we have for our hard drive. So can we design a central defragmenter so that we can always rearrange the spectrum usage of all the transmissions so that we can eliminate all the fragments? Unfortunately, the answer is no. That is because the multimedia transmission is real time. It's different from file. You cannot stop all the transmissions and rearrange them to eliminate the fragments. This is not acceptable. So instead, our solution is individual online defragmentation. Instead of having a global defragmenter to stop all the transmission and rearrange, we let each individual flow to voluntarily change their spectrum usage to remove the fragments. So as we are showing in this example, link 2 leaves the network, creating a fragment. So link 3 now can detect this and voluntarily move to the left and then remove that fragment. So now if there's a new link wants to access the network, it can find a good enough, large enough band to access. And in Jello, we also have designed randomized protocols so that this defragmentation process can stay transparent to other transmissions. This is quite good because it can remove the fragments, but it is also not perfect. It also has some impact. Because when the sender and receiver, they perform defragmentation, they need to switch their frequency usage. So this process, the channel switching, may lead to some slight disruptions to the ongoing transmission. In order to reduce such self-disruption, because the multimedia transmissions, they can only tolerate very limited disruption. So we can only allow this self-defragmentation to happen infrequently. And because of this, although this technique is effective, it can remove fragments, but still, we cannot guarantee to eliminate all of them. There are still low levels of fragmentation exist. Our second solution is called non-contiguous spectrum access. Remember that the fragmentation is harmful. It's mainly because the devices can only access one single contiguous spectrum block. What if they can access multiple non-contiguous blocks? So then they can combine multiple small slices and form a single transmission. So this is very nice because, for example, as we are showing here, if there are two spectrum holes in the frequency domain, the new link can just split the current demand and access two non-contiguous spectrum bands simultaneously. This can also satisfy the traffic demand. So we implement this using the technique called decentralized OFDMA, and this is made possible by using the software-defined radio platforms. There are also many engineering and research problems in decentralized OFDMA. You can read our paper for more detail about this part. But here, you see that this non-contiguous access is very powerful. It can make the fragmentation problem non-harmful. You may ask, is this the ultimate solution? Can the devices just combine any number of small slices and we don't need to worry about the fragmentation problem at all? It's also no, because there are some costs from non-contiguous spectrum access. In order to protect the cross-band interference for any active transmission adjacent in the frequency domain, we need to have guard bands between them. And as we split one single spectrum block into multiple non-contiguous blocks, we need more guard bands. And we increase guard band overhead. So in summary, although the non-contiguous access can reduce the impact from fragmentation, it also has some cost. So in Jello, we actually unify both solutions in the MAC and physical layer because these two solutions, they are complementary to each other. We have the online defragmentation. This is effective and they can remove many of the fragments. But due to the limited defragmentation frequency, we still have some low levels of fragmentation. But fortunately, we have the other part. We have non-contiguous access. It can combine some number of small slices and form a single transmission. That's effective, especially for low fragmentation. Although this part has some cost, like guard band overhead, because we have online defragmentation, we can always control the overhead and make it acceptable. Finally, we have implemented all the design components on GNU Radio. GNU Radio is a software-defined radio platform. We use it mainly because it's widely available, it's inexpensive, and very flexible. Although there are some limitations with GNU Radio, you may know there are there's a very limited bandwidth, and there's a large and unpredictable processing delay. But still, we feel that it's a good platform as a proof of concept implementation. We have implemented the edge detection sensing, the defragmentation, the decentralized OFDMA, as well as the coordination protocol on GNU Radio. And for more details about our design and the implementation, you can read our paper. To evaluate the performance of Jello, we deployed a 8-node GNU Radio testbed to support 4 concurrent transmissions. We mount these GNU Radio nodes on the walls within a very large room of various furniture and wall separators. We generate both video traces and we use video traces and synthetic traces to generate the traffic load for each link. And we compare 4 different systems. We have static, that is just to partition the total spectrum equally to the 4 video sessions. And this is similar to Wi-Fi in terms of the fixed channelization. And for the devices that can only access a single contiguous spectrum block, we have a partial version of Jello. That is called Jello C. That is designed with online defragmentation, but without the non-contiguous access. And Jello 4 is the full version of Jello with both defragmentation and non-contiguous access. And we also simulated an optimal solution that is just an upper bound without any fragmentation and overhead. So to look at the performance of Jello, we first check the media quality. Here we use a metric called video disruption rate. That is defined as a percentage of time the video gets disrupted. So in this experiment, we vary the traffic load in the network and look at the disruption rate of all 4 solutions. From this one, we see that our design Jello can provide less than 5% disruption. Well, if the device can only use contiguous block, then it can lead to 18% of disruption. And even worse, for static, it can lead to 23% of video disruption. This shows that Jello can reduce the disruption and improve the multimedia application's performance. And we also look at Jello's performance from the other perspective, the spectrum usage efficiency. So we have a metric called residual usable spectrum. That is the amount of spectrum a new link can use. So again, we vary the average traffic load in the network and look at the residual usable spectrum. We see that there's roughly 45% increase in terms of usable spectrum for new transmission compared to the contiguous version. So from this one, we see that by using non-contiguous access, our Jello design can actually also increase the spectrum usage efficiency significantly. In conclusion, so we have designed Jello. That is the first system to support demanding wireless applications using the idea of per-session frequency domain sharing. In Jello design, we have proposed and implemented several key components. For example, we have proposed edge detection spectrum sensing to detect the available spectrum. And to address the spectrum fragmentation problem, we have proposed non-contiguous spectrum access plus online spectrum defragmentation. Finally, we deploy Jello on a 8-node GNU Radio testbed for 4 concurrent video transmissions. And we have done extensive experiments, and they show that Jello can provide high spectrum utilization can also adapt to the dynamic traffic demand. So we have built a website for our project. You can go download our implementation at this website. And we also made a demo video that's available at our website as well as YouTube. So that's it for my talk. I'm happy to take any questions.
Hi, Sayandeep from Wisconsin-Madison. So first of all, really great work.
Thank you.
So first, I had a clarification question. I mean, you're talking about disruption. So
yes.
What exactly does it mean? The frame freezes, or you have some glitches coming in? What's a disruption?
Oh, actually, so right now we are using some, we are now using perceptual disruption in terms of video quality. Right now we define disruption as that the allocated spectrum, the achieved throughput cannot support the current video traffic demand. So then you must get some packet loss. So the video may have some artifacts in perceptual quality, and we all define them as disruptions.
I see. So packet loss. Oh, packet loss beyond a certain threshold.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, thank you. So I had two more questions. Okay, so the first one is, I agree with the fact that time and frequency are kind of two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
So if I understand you correctly, what you are doing here is you are giving some amount of frequency or bandwidth at all times to a video application.
Yes.
So if I think Wi-Fi, I can potentially think of a solution where I give the entire bandwidth for certain duration of time. Like using PCF mode of operation in Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, I push out a lot of video, and when it doesn't get a time slice, it can keep on playing whatever it has got. So do you think these two approaches would be comparable? And
well, as we mentioned before, so although they can, for example, you can design better time sharing.
Right.
So, but still, if you are designing a distributed system, it's very difficult to provide to get good quality of service guarantee. And also, we are talking about the multimedia applications. We want to have absolute continuous access in time. For example, if you are having a voice call, or you don't want to have any disruption, like for example, more than 20 milliseconds. So in this setting, the frequency domain sharing, it can guarantee absolute continuous
right,
access.
But
that is,
you are kind of, I think, making an assumption that you know how much demand is going to be placed.
Yes.
That's how you're assigning frequency.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
If you know that, I mean, you can potentially allow it to take time, or maybe I'm missing something. Maybe in real time this won't work, because even if I get it a big chunk of time, it cannot place content. So my third question is, the edge detection algorithm that you talked about,
yeah.
So have you measured its performance in 2.4 gigahertz, or I mean, what band you measure it in? And I ask this question because looking at your graph, really, if the energy floor kind of comes down, the edge also comes down to the noise floor. So if the energy floor fails, the edge also kind of fails, because noise has really reached the level of the signal. So
that's true. For example, if you have a very distant transmitter, so if the transmission power is comparable to the noise, the edge may get blurred as well. But that's because we actually in the paper we have combined both energy detection and edge detection.
Right.
So for the transmission with very low power and very high power, we use a two extreme threshold to just use energy detection. And if the transmission power is so low that it's comparable to noise, it's free. And we don't need to identify the edge for these transmissions.
I see. So and edges,
We have done experiments on the 2.4 gigahertz.
So edge is kind of like a further thresholding on top of energy, because
we combine both.
So it's just to verify what the power is telling you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
One last question.
So this is just following up a little bit on edge detection. How do you, so imagine you have a house with like heterogeneous set of radios with different sensitivities and what. How do you know that you're not going to hurt another flow? Like, how close do you get? And is there a bound with respect to, like, inter-spectrum or, like, the inter-fragmented spectrum bound? Like, how close do you get to the edge, and how do you know that that's not hurting the flow that's already going on?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So, as I said, we need to place guard band between any two transmissions, right, to protect the cross-band interference. And in our current setting, we use a kind of fixed setting. So we place two subcarriers as guard band. And in our experiment, it's proved to be enough to guarantee that the multiple transmissions, they don't interfere with each other. After we detect the edges, we just add two subcarrier actual protection. But that's a very good point. So that, for example, if you have like very heterogeneous devices in a more complex environment, this situation may get worse, and we may need to use adaptive guard band configuration between the transmissions, and that's also part of our ongoing project.